You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
You are the worst of the bad guys.
Because I was talking to RJ. Mike T texted him at 6:25 and said he's ready to go now.
We didn't need him at 6:25. 6:33, we needed him. We wanted him. He wasn't there. We can give you another chance. Good morning.
I guess the feeling is mutual. Maybe my expectations for you are higher than those of yourself because I was ready at 7:28 for our 7:30 call, and unfortunately you guys couldn't make it, but we'll give you another chance as well.
Wow, he's completely turned the tables. He didn't even make excuses.
Coming in hot.
I can't believe you've turned into this.
He's turned the table on you.
On me?
No, you're bad at your job. I love this.
This is DCR.
Keep going, Mike T. Get after him.
No, no.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Just kowtow to anything that just Tenenbaum says. Nobody wants any animosity on this show. He says he thinks the Bears are going to have the worst record in the NFL this season, and you guys say nothing about it? Leave me out to dry?
Well, the Bears are going to be one of the worst teams, Dave.
If
Andy Dalton is their starting quarterback for all 16 games next year, then the Bears are going to have a bad record. They're probably going to be picking in the top five. What do you want me to say?
I want you to agree with me. Just for one time.
Dave, sitting here today, I mean, the Chicago Bears are going to certainly be one of the worst teams in the conference. I don't have a lot of confidence in what Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are doing. So, I mean, I don't think it's far-fetched to say they would be one of the teams in the running to have the first overall pick.
Wow.
How about Detroit? I can't imagine Detroit's going to be that good.
How good do you think the Jets are going to be this year?
Oh, stop it. I mean, you know, there's not a lot of teams that have corners that can match up with Mims and Davis.
You got that tweet?
Zach Wilson's going to beat Josh Allen.
I mean, that's true. I mean, I don't think defensive coordinators are staying up. You know, they can't sleep at all thinking of Corey Davis and Denzel Mims. That is
not many corners, Dave. I'm not going to argue that point. I want to believe it.
It's a valid point by that tweeter. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, let's turn our attention back to the Knicks. Monday night, lost to the Nets. Not horrifying for me Tuesday morning. Last night's loss, a lot more difficult to deal with because I thought they had the game. I bought into it. I'm watching the game fourth quarter thinking to myself, they're going to win this game. And I understand that Philly has the closers and Knicks don't have that, but that was a game that I expected at some point the Knicks to win, and they didn't get it done.
Yeah, I mean, you could be frustrated. I wouldn't be mortified that they lost.
I'm not embarrassed. I'm not mortified. It was just I thought that they had a real chance to win that game, and they did, and they couldn't get it done. So I'm frustrated. I'm more frustrated with last night's game than I was with the loss against the Nets.
I'm more interested as to why Alan Hahn is selling frozen veggies. He looks like he's selling frozen vegetables on KJZ right now with that green sweater on.
You'll take shots at anybody.
Anybody. No, but again, I mean, last night was another example. We looked at the schedule in the second half, and we started with the first four games, where you have the three best teams in the East in those first four games. You got blown up by Milwaukee, which, again, I mean, that sucks. You never want to be blown out. But you're right there with Brooklyn, right there till the very end. And then last night, right there, and I think you got a chance to see last night, especially with no Derrick Rose or Elfrid Payton, how thin this team is and what they're missing. Like, Alec Burks ended up being your lead point guard last night.
That's
not
a good
thing.
Which
is not who he is.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
And then Julius Randle, he's played 41 minutes last night. Day fourth quarter, he had 1 point.
Angry at Randle. Here's my thought. You're playing the Sixers. You're up by 9 going into the fourth quarter. They don't have Joel Embiid. I like my chances to win that game. And the Knicks couldn't pull out a victory.
Yeah, but even without Joel Embiid, I mean, we're drafting a team right now. You get the option to draft from both teams. Where does Julius Randle get drafted?
Probably two or three.
Okay, and then who's next from the Knicks?
R.J. Barrett.
You think R.J. Barrett, you take R.J. Barrett with the fourth pick in that draft?
No. You said who's next from the Knicks.
Yeah, but I'm saying as far as the number one, the Philadelphia Sixers, even without Joel Embiid, are a better team.
Yes.
I agree with that. I'm not arguing that. My point was, and we talk about this all the time, expectations change. And when you're up by 9 points going into the fourth quarter, you start to think, you know what, this is a game that we can win. All I'm saying is I'm frustrated with the loss. I'm not horrified. I don't think it's a terrible loss. It didn't keep me up last night. But that was a game that at some point I said, you know what, they have a real chance to win it. And they didn't win it. And that I find to be a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, Dave, but when they don't have a true point guard to be able to orchestrate the offense, things are going to be a struggle to be able to get buckets down the stretch. And that's exactly what we saw, both with the second unit, but also with the first unit when IQ went out with the ankle injury. Like, coming back, you knew he was going to be compromised. So in terms of what he can do for your offense, he was going to be a little bit limited. And that puts a lot on Julius Randle, who was gassed because he's paying 40-plus minutes in back-to-back nights. So, I mean, I just... You understand that the Knicks were in position to start that fourth quarter to be able to win that game, but when you peel back the layers and you really look at it, you can understand why the Philadelphia 76ers were able to take control down the stretch.
Yeah, I'm not as like I get what you're saying. Because as a Knicks fan, especially when they play as hard as they played last night,
and they played well, that's the thing that's frustrating to me.
But I understand that for them to even be in that game, how hard they played defensively, like what it takes to be in that spot. And sometimes the reality is that they just don't have enough yet. They don't. Backcourt-wise right now, there's a deficiency. And that's the reason why you brought in Derrick Rose, was for a situation like that.
You really miss him. When you go to the second unit and you are going to Ntilikina and Toppin, I mean,
you can't. They're not playable.
It's like you're shorthanded in hockey.
But they're not playable.
You can't compete like that. You can't.
But you could make the argument that that's when the game turned, was when you're trying to get Julius Randle a second
a blow, yeah,
and you can't do it. No. You can't. I mean, you can't play Toppin right now.
You can't. He is absolutely unplayable. Now, R.J. Barrett has played well, and let's take a listen to the second year player saying there's positives. I'm frustrated. He takes positives away from the last two losses.
Most definitely, you just take them as the learning experiences. You know, we're right there. Like I said, just got to. Maybe key little plays that'll help us close out these games and win these games.
They are right there. I mean, you can feel it. But and I don't disagree with anything you guys are saying, right? I mean, Philadelphia has the closers. Tobias Harris is a really good player, and they have the shooting. And Seth Curry is a good shooter and showed that last night. And this other guy that I don't know who he is, you know, winds up making shot after shot after shot. But the point is you get caught up in the heat of the moment, and I was hoping they could win that game, and they couldn't. I'm not blaming anyone. I'm not angry about the way it played out. I'm just frustrated because I thought they had a chance to win the game.
Well, they did have a chance, Dave, but, I mean, you just realize that the Sixers had more firepower down the stretch, and that's the long and short of it. I mean, you're not going to win a lot of games when you only score 14 points in the fourth quarter. No matter what kind of lead you come into the fourth quarter with. And I think that's the spot that the Knicks found themselves in last night. But moving forward, you just hope that the Knicks are able to take care of their business against the teams that, from a talent level perspective, they're on the same plane with. Like, that's the hope. Like, the Knicks should just take care of their business. They got the Magic coming up. Get back on track.
You have
get
to that, win that game.
Get that win. And then just try to move forward, try to build some momentum from there. But, I mean... The Knicks are right in this thing. When it comes to the playoff teams, like, the Knicks are going to be right there at the end of this thing. I truly believe that based on how Tibbs has coached his team, what we've seen from them so far through 41 games, I believe that this team will be right there at the end of the regular season with an opportunity to qualify for the postseason.
I don't care what the sport is, Dave. I mean, last night was an, it could be hockey, it could be whatever you want to, whatever sport you want to point to. You're going up against the Brooklyn Nets. It's on ESPN. You poured your heart out on the floor to try to win that game. Controversial call. Julius Randle's going after the referee. All the emotion involved with that. And all of a sudden, you got to turn around and play the Sixers at home. And the Sixers rarely lose at home. Like, that was... Last night was the perfect letdown game. And I don't care what the sport is.
And there was no letdown.
Exactly right. That's the positive. That's how you know a team is well coached.
I agree. Listen, I can take positives. I agree with you. I want to break through. I want to be up by nine going to the fourth quarter and say, you know what? Here comes a win. That's all.
Yeah, but
I'm
how are you going to break through? But the point Chris and I are trying to make, and I get what you're saying because you're emotionally invested. I'm emotionally invested. Like watching the end of that game this morning, it was heartbreaking because I know how much they put into trying to put themselves in that position. And R.J. Barrett, you know, just comes up a little bit short.
He's got to make that shot. He's got to make that shot.
And you know what? He didn't hit his free throws yesterday. There's such a fine line, like that, such a thin margin. Like even if you start missing free throws, how it can affect you. And they didn't do a good job making free throws yesterday too. But it's, I mean, with no Rose and no Alfred Payton.
I know. They really are hamstrung.
It's a different team. It screws everything up because now
they don't have anybody that can score.
Exactly right. I mean, the beauty of having Alfred Payton with a starting unit is he's an okay point guard, but he's really good defensively. So I get Julius Randle can score, and you know Alfred Payton's good defensively. So I got a good defensive unit with Julius Randle scoring. I bring in the bench. Now all of a sudden, because I got Derrick Rose and IQ, now all of a sudden I can go on a run and we can outscore the other team's bench. You don't have that now.
No. Doesn't exist. You have nothing offensively from your bench at this point.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I just received the most delicious package ever. Rick, you did as well, didn't you?
If I had a quarter for every time I heard that.
Oh, come on. Can't you just enjoy Wendy's and not go there? Chris, I apologize that you even have to hear this stuff.
Well, now, Dave, you should know better. The way you teed it up for him, you knew he was going to walk right through that door.
You're right, but I should be able to just speak and not have to be worried that this you know, Hugh Hefner clone is going to go there every second he gets.
Yeah, Dave, but we're going on 4 years doing the show together. At this point, you should know better.
Listen, you can't call someone Delicious D. You call me Delicious D. You got me expect. You got to expect this at this point, don't you? Can't give someone Delicious D.
I guess, in fact, I do. But I bet you Chris did. Did you jump into that delicious Wendy's treat? Chris?
Of course I did, Dave.
I know you did.
The honey butter chicken biscuit, outstanding, outstanding. Wendy's for the win on Wednesday.
Yeah,
how about
you You know what Wendy's is doing? They just sent us some beautiful. I mean, honey butter chicken biscuits. And oof, delicious stuff. But they are trying to make Wednesday a great day. Because it's not a great day, but Wendy's is attempting to do that.
I think they're succeeding at the moment. They're succeeding.
I think they very well might be. A crispy chicken fillet, perfectly seasoned and topped with maple honey butter on a fluffy buttermilk biscuit. Beat that. It's sweet. It's savory. It's a great reason to get out of bed in the morning. It's the only reason I got out of bed this morning, to be honest. I hate Wednesdays, but this Wendy's drop is delicious. They also sent some breakfast potatoes, Rick, some oatmeal bars, frosty chinos, cold brewed coffee swirled with Wendy's legendary frosty mix and served over ice.
You know I love Wendy's though, Dave. I mean, how many times have I tell you, my girlfriend back in Michigan, well, she worked at Wendy's.
Oh.
She had a job at Wendy's. It was the best.
Oh, available chocolate and vanilla. Everything was absolutely delicious and amazing. Now, normally, Wendy's would give away some Wendy's gift cards. Our listeners could try for themselves. Instead, you know what Wendy's is doing? They're giving away a free honey butter chicken biscuit to everyone. Everybody. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You can score a free honey butter chicken biscuit all breakfast long because as the official, and this is the beauty, as the official breakfast of March Madness, Wendy's has invented biscuit ball. There's only
biscuit
one rule.
Ball.
Yeah, biscuit ball. You like that,
wow.
Don't you?
You do. I love that.
Play on words. Only one rule. Stop by Wendy's for a free honey butter chicken biscuit. How about this? No purchase required. Limit one free honey butter chicken biscuit per person per day, March 18th through the 20th. Only at participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours. Not valid for delivery orders or combined with other Wendy's app offers. No substitutions while supplies last. Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. We got you.
Yeah, somebody that just dominated one of those honey butter chicken biscuits during the break, I strongly encourage folks to get involved with that offer.
Now,
I mean,
if
you don't do it, Dave, you're hustling backwards. It's free.
They want me to do this or not, but I'm reading the fine print here, Rick. Limit one free honey butter chicken biscuit per day, 18th through the 20th. You can go back the 18th, 19th,
yes,
and 20th and partake
exactly
three
right.
consecutive days.
Yeah, and I mean, good chance to meet Reggie Miller. He's living at Wendy's right now.
Yes.
They actually just redid, by your first place of employment, the Dunkin' Donuts, they just redid that Wendy's that's next door.
I dominated at that Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, yeah, but for all the wrong reasons. You have craps games and everything else.
Chinese poker tournaments, yeah.
He's got an illegal gambling hall in the manager's
office.
Yeah, it
was a hell episode.
It was. It was unbelievable.
Notice how he shot him below the knee to avoid first degree. Now with that new one, that Wendy's now across the street. They got the drive-through there and everything. It's fantastic. It's perfect.
Love it. Well, you should go today because you get a free, beautiful biscuit sandwich. All right. The NFL quarterback carousel continues. So Tyrod Taylor to Houston, which seems very curious, right? Seems like they're making their play for when they move on from Deshaun Watson. Ryan Fitzpatrick to Washington. Andy Dalton to Chicago. I think that your guy, Sam Darnold, is going to have a market, but I'm questioning where, in fact, that's going to be at this point now.
I think we all are. I mean, look at the landscape of the NFL right now. Where is... I think there'll be a market, but I would have a hard time believing now, with these teams making moves to fill those spots, that you're going to get the first-round pick that people were talking about. Is there a spot where you're going to get a first round pick for Sam Darnold?
I just don't see it. I don't think it'll happen. But here's what I will say: with all of those teams that signed quarterbacks yesterday, I mean, those contracts they're not fully guaranteed. About half of the reported value of the contract is the guaranteed portion of it. So those moves don't preclude those teams from going out and making a trade for another quarterback. Like Sam Darnold could still be on the table for the Washington Football Team. Same for them as drafting a quarterback at 19. Like, you just never know. But I think those teams felt like they had to do something just so, you know, they set themselves up to be able to go through the draft process and not have a glaring need at the quarterback spot.
Because what happens if they want Darnold? Even if they want him and they don't get him and you're Washington, now what do you do?
They got to have somebody.
Now what do you do?
They
got
to have somebody.
You have to have some kind of backup plan.
Yeah, so I think those quarterbacks that signed yesterday, those are fail safes in case their plans for what they really want to do at the position go left.
No, but I guess my point is this. I mean, do I think that Sam Darnold, there are teams that would trade for Sam Darnold? Yeah, I mean, I don't know about Washington now. I mean, I read Diana Rossini's report. When she asked about Washington, they're like, no, there's no chance that's happened. Move along. They're all set with Sam Darnold. But, I mean, they've...
Fitz.
No. They said they have Fitz now, but they said Diana Rossini asked somebody with the Washington football team about Sam Darnold. They said, no, we're all set with that. That time has passed. It is now... You're taking away the Jets' leverage by addressing the position. Like you guys said, it's a fail-safe. Now they don't have to bend over backwards to try to get... If they want Sam Darnold, they don't have to bend over backwards. Like, if the deal's not right for them, okay, they can move on.
Yeah, but I mean, realistically, the Jets couldn't trade Sam Darnold before they secure their next quarterback anyway. Like, they're not going to trade Sam Darnold before the draft happens. I mean, even if they are going to take Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, or Trey Lance at number two, there was no way they were going to move off of Sam before they actually drafted the player. I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals last year knew they were going to draft Joe Burrow number one overall, but they still didn't move off of Andy Dalton until they did that. I mean, so the timing-wise, it doesn't feel great just because, you know, the chairs are filling up and the music seems like it's about to stop. But I still think there's going to be a market for Sam just because there's going to be somebody out there that believes in the upside that the Jets saw when they drafted him third overall in 2018.
And it only takes one. Right? I mean, you just have one team that says we want him. And listen, if I told you got an early second-round pick for Sam Darnold, you'd feel pretty good about that. Just get something of value that you think you can get a legitimate player.
Dave, the Arizona Cardinals got a second-round pick for Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
Josh Rosen. Is Josh Rosen even on an active roster right now?
He's somewhere. I don't even know where he is.
San Francisco.
Oof. But he's not on he's on practice squad, right?
I think they might have signed him, actually.
They signed him on active roster? Okay.
I think they may have signed him. I mean, he left. He was with Tampa, and then they signed him in San Fran.
He was on practice squad in Tampa. Yeah.
But I think they – I don't know. RJ would know better than me because he's the Niners fan.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I guess, Dave, what you're saying is probably true because this is where we're at now, and they ruined him. But, I mean, to think just 3 years ago, we were praising Mike Maccagnan for moving up from 6 to 3 to get Sam Darnold, and now we're at a point where you'd be happy trading him away for a high second round pick. That's kind of sad.
Well, I think you have to adjust as the times move on. You want to be put in a good mood though, Rick? I'm going to put you because I care for you. I'm going to put you in a good mood right now.
Put me in a good mood, please.
All right. David Pollack, a college football expert, analyst, was on Get Up yesterday. Listen to what he says about one Zach Wilson.
You see Aaron Rodgers, and I know that sounds crazy when you hear that, but he completed 62% of passes downfield, best ever since ESPN's recorded that stat.
he drops the ball in the bucket, off platform, sidearm angle, but he elevated everybody around him at BYU. He wasn't Justin Fields playing with all these freak show wide receivers and one of the best play callers in football. He could make everything look good, and the way he threw the deep ball and dropped some of those passes, and you just go, that dude's special, like Aaron Rodgers.
There you go. The next Aaron Rodgers and Zach Wilson.
I mean, listen, if that ends up being the case, I mean, I hate those comparisons. I mean, Zach Wilson had one good year at BYU, right? So, I mean, it's great if that's what he sees. I hope he's right from his lips to God's ears, and we end up taking Zach Wilson. That's what he turns into. But, I mean, that's putting a lot on it for only seeing one year of a quarterback play.
A lot. And I love it, Chris. We have Matt Miller the other day who says, you know what, guys? He wasn't good 2 years ago. Wasn't good 3 years ago. Was very good in one season. I don't know about him. And now Pollock saying reminds him of Aaron Rodgers. Like, this is what makes it go, I guess.
No, it is what makes it go, but it scares you when you only have 1 year of top-end production from one of these college prospects. And I guess that's the boat that Zach Wilson kind of falls into. Like, I mean, he had it all going for him this past season, but a lot of people have been questioning whether or not you attribute that to weak competition that he played in his conference. So I just... There's still a lot of questions, and with no combine and, you know, and limited data points that you have in the pre-draft process to be able to gather limited opportunities to gather information, like that's the one thing that you get concerned with when it comes to the Jets, because it's a franchise that's made mistakes at the top of the draft, especially when it comes to this specific position. So, yeah, I get why Jets fans would be a little uneasy about it.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Mr. Peloton himself, the wonderful and talented Dan Graziano. Good morning, Dan. How you doing?
Peloton thing's gotten to a point where, like, everybody brings it up every time I'm on the radio. I feel like I should start to get some money for it at some point.
You probably should.
Any, I don't know. Maybe one of you guys could help me out with that, like, know who to call. I don't know. I'll talk to you off air about it.
Yeah, we have a terrific sales department here at ESPN.
Very good. Top notch. Top notch.
What's up, guys?
By the way, I don't know if you know this. I know you went there, so you have apparently the right more than me to root for this team, but I'm a huge Georgetown fan. So,
well, I did know that. I did. You've talked about that. You know, it's funny that Ewing's getting all this love because, like, until last week, his tenure as coach was kind of a disaster.
It was terrible.
Like, nothing's really gone well at all. So I think it's hysterical that everybody's all excited now. So good for them.
But that was some run, huh? In the Big East tournament.
Yeah, it's great. I didn't realize it had been that long. Like that Final Four team from 07, that Jeff Green, Roy Hibbert team was the last one that won the Big East title. It's been a pretty bad drought.
They've been.
Well, did
awful.
You know what? Did you guys know? I'm sure you guys know because you're Georgetown fans. Do you know what their percent chance to win the Big East tournament was?
2%, right?
No, 0.5. They had a
0.5 to win
chance.
The Big East tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know because it never occurred to me. I wasn't paying any attention at all. So yeah, it was fun. Fun.
It was
I actually watched the game on Saturday.
It was awesome.
And then you sang the fight song.
Killed Creighton. You sang the fight song. Colorado Saturday noon. Be all wrapped up into that one. All right. So let's get to the NFL. That's your big specialty. A lot of quarterback questions to ask you about. Let's start with the glaring elephant in the room, and Deshaun Watson. This is really getting ugly now with the claims against him for allegedly, and I want to make sure we say that, sexual abuse, and his coming out and saying that is absolutely not true, and the connection that this attorney has, just proximity of living near the McNair family. I mean, you know, and they now signed Tyrod Taylor. Dan, what's going to happen here, and how ugly do you think this gets?
On the topic of the thing this morning with the allegations, the attorney, I just assume put that right to the side here because I don't know anything about it, and it's not right to discuss. I think everybody knows it's out there, but in terms of the football of it, right, the Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans relationship. Look, he wants out, and you know, it is ugly. There's no question about it. I think they're at a point where they realize they're going to have to trade him. It's just a matter of the mechanism of it, right? Like, does it make more sense for them to do it before the draft and get picks this year? Or does it make more sense for them to wait until after June 1st when the cap hit won't be as bad this year if they trade him? And then if that's the case, what do they get in return? Is it players, good young players that are on rookie contracts? Maybe some money goes back their way to help them offset the signing bonus that they gave Watson last year. when they signed him to that big deal. I do think ultimately he gets traded. I think the question now is obviously where. The questions are where and what the timetable is. But I just don't see how it's a tenable situation right now based on anything I've heard.
Dan Graziano joins us here on the show. Dan, Andy Dalton ends up signing with Chicago. I mean, there was a lot of talk. I mean, yeah, Greeny, he has friends in Chicago saying, you know, friends of his are buying Russell Wilson jerseys in Chicago already. Well, what's the overall feeling around the NFL as to what, you know, Chicago ended up doing at that position?
Well, I don't think anybody really thought they were going to get Russell Wilson, except maybe them. They don't really have the trade ammunition to make it happen, right? Like, they just don't have the kinds of picks and players that they would need to get Seattle interested, and Seattle's not interested in trading him right now. So it was kind of a non-starter. You know, if you're still holding out hope, right, that Seattle changes its mind in a couple of months, again, that June 1st date matters there, too, in terms of dead money and salary cap, then you still need a contingency plan, because what if you don't get him? So there's Andy Dalton sitting there as a guy with starter experience. They like him for whatever reason, and obviously, you know, poor Andy has no chance, because obviously he's now the symbol of their inability to get Russell Wilson, and the fan base will always hold it against him, though it's not his fault. But for me, the question is, why is Dalton a better option than Mitch Trubisky? And I just feel like the coaching staff had soured on Trubisky to such an extent there that it was never going to be an option. So, they're in a bad spot. I mean, they're in a bad spot. They missed on you trade up to take a quarterback at number two and he doesn't turn out to be the guy. It takes a while to dig out from under that.
Dan, bringing this thing a little bit closer to home, how is Sam Darnold's trade value affected by all of these quarterback jobs filling up around the league?
I don't think it's that bad. I think they'll be able to trade him. You know, the more and more you talk to people about it, the more it becomes clear that teams that are interested in trading for Sam Darnold are not necessarily interested in trading for him and making him their starter, right? It's like, do we trade for him as a potential backup or a guy to add to our mix, right? Like, do the 49ers trade for him and still keep Garoppolo, but then they know going forward, here we have Darnold in the building. If something happens to Garoppolo, you know, he always gets hurt. Here's a guy we can start, and maybe he turns out to be a guy that we can develop a little bit and move on from Jimmy next year. So those kinds of plans. So when you talk about that I think is where you start to think about what the value is. What are you going to get for a guy that teams view that way? And I think that's why you're looking at probably, I don't know, third-round pick, second if you're lucky.
Wow. Dan Graziano with us here, 98.7 ESPN. What's going to happen with Kenny Golladay? Feels like a couple teams have kind of solved that receiver issue. Couple guys still available, certainly, in Samuel and Schuster. But Golladay is the best of the bunch. Where do you think he winds up?
Yeah, it's just been a slow market overall. Will Fuller, also a guy that I think, you know, people thought might be signed somewhere by now. There are some concerns about Golladay in terms of, you know, the injury he had this past year, how serious an issue it's going to be going forward. That's affected his market. And then just the fact that the receiver market hasn't moved in general. We've heard teams. I mean, you know, the Giants, I think, have been connected with him, the Miami Dolphins. But, you know, at this point, it's one of those situations where the longer it goes, the more he has to recalibrate his expectations, and you start to think maybe there's a team that comes in that we haven't been looking at once the price gets to a point that's more palatable for them. So, yeah, I would think in the next couple of days we look out to see wide receivers on the move. But, I mean, yeah, I think it says something that, you know, the Patriots went for Hunter Henry as a second tight end as opposed to one of these wide receivers on the market because maybe he seems like the better play overall as a pass-catching option.
You brought up the Patriots, Dan. What do you think of what Bill Belichick has done so far and all the money he spent?
I think it's an admission of how badly things have gone for him in the draft the last couple of years, right? He has this sort of hollowed-out roster that needs to be patched in a bunch of different places. Now, you know, he's in a good spot because he has a ton of cap space in a depressed market, so he's able to get premium guys at less than premium prices, and that's what he's been doing. But yeah, it shows you how much work was needed there to get back to a respectable roster. And obviously Belichick's a guy You know, he's obviously closer to the end of his coaching career than the beginning. He has goals in mind. I think there's a widespread belief that he wants to pass Don Shula on the all-time wins list. That's going to take some work. That's going to take some 10, 11 win seasons, and he needs to get back to that. So I think so much of it rests on what happens at quarterback. Do they go with Cam? Does Cam bounce back? Do they find a better option? I think they're putting a nice roster together around whoever that ends up being, but I still think it comes down to who's their quarterback and what kind of production they get from that position.
Are people in and around that organization, where are they at with their draft plans with that first-round pick? Because I know it's been floated that the Patriots would be interested in taking a quarterback with their first-round pick. Like, is that still a possibility, even with signing Cam Newton?
Yeah, you cannot rule it out. There's certainly the Cam Newton contract doesn't lock them into anything, right? It's $5.1 million with incentives that could push it up to the mid 13s, and only 3.5 is guaranteed. So it's a backup quarterback contract that can elevate to a low end starter contract if he plays the whole year and they win. So that doesn't prohibit you certainly from drafting a quarterback in the first round. Heck, it doesn't prohibit you from trading for Deshaun Watson, right, or finding some other solution like that. So, yeah, it's they're keeping their options open. Look, Cam Newton's an option they like. No one's happy with how he played or they played last year, but they liked having him in the building. They felt like they had something there that just didn't come to fruition for a number of different reasons. So they bring in, I don't want to use the term like fallback. I think it insults him, but, you know, they bring in a potential option that they feel good about if some others don't work out. So that's a smart play by them. Again, we'll see how it goes.
Dan Graziano with us here, 98.7 ESPN NFL Insider. Let me ask you about Dave Gettleman and the Giants. What's your take on the job he's done and the direction of this team right now?
The Giants have been in a hole for some time because they went through a long period of time where they drafted very badly. And this goes back to the previous general manager. And, the roster just doesn't have a lot of key contributors on it that they got from the draft. So they need, I know talking to people in that building, they feel like they need to build up the roster in a lot of spots, add depth and get to a point where, you know, they're just stronger overall. So I think, I know that fans want them to land a big fish. You know, people talk about Galladay or one of the big pass rushers. But I think the Giants feel like they're not one or two pieces away, and they need to just improve the roster overall. So I think what they're looking at is guys they feel can play roles, guys they feel are going to be there a little while. You know, I don't think they're too eager to do a one-year prove-it deal with one of the big wide receivers. I think they'd like somebody who they feel like is going to be part of their program. So, look, I know they tried on Leonard Floyd, and he stayed with the Rams. I know they tried on Hunter Henry, and he went to the Patriots. So they are out there trying to make deals happen, and they gave a bunch of money to Leonard Williams, who obviously was a really good player for them last year. But I think the Giants are thinking about, let's make our roster better overall, and how do we do that? What kind of signings do that for us? And that's the position they're in right now. I think we'll see some action from them over the next couple of days.
The songbird of his generation, Dan Graziano, joins us here on the show. Dan, as far as what Joe Douglas has done so far, how do you feel about the moves he's made?
I think I like their moves in free agency. I think the Corey Davis contract is a nice one for them, especially if he pops and plays like a number one receiver, which is what he was drafted to be, obviously. I think Carl Lawson is a worthwhile bet as a young pass rusher. You know, they're signing guys that are 25, 26 years old, and that's where you want to be in free agency. I like the moves they've done. I mean, obviously, again, it's a broken record here. It's like what happens at quarterback determines the future of that franchise, but they have some cap space and some money to play with, and the decisions that Douglas made, I think, on Monday stood out to me as smart ones.
Dan, we had Matt Miller on the show late last week, and he said there wasn't a huge separation between Zach Wilson versus Trey Lance and Justin Fields. I know Trey Lance had his workout this past Friday. What were the impressions that talent evaluators around the NFL came away with? And is there a big gap? Is there a sizable gap between Zach Wilson and those other two quarterbacks expected to go in the first half of the first round?
So when you say sizable gap, you're talking about it in perception, right? The way the teams around the league.
Yes.
Because I am not an evaluator, so I don't know.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. What people around the league are saying.
Yeah, it's eye of the beholder, right? With quarterback, like what are you looking for? There may be a team that thinks Mac Jones is the right guy for them, and then there's a bunch of other teams that say no because he doesn't run around. We like mobile quarterbacks these days in the NFL. So Zach Wilson is impressing a lot of people, and I think, you know, he checks a lot of the boxes. I think he's a strong favorite to be the second quarterback taken at this point. Whether there's a big gap. Again, it really just depends on who you talk to. There might be a team out there that likes Justin Fields better, but I'm hearing a lot of positives about Zach Wilson right now. People are very excited about him. There are questions, obviously, about level of competition. Trey Lance comes with those as well, obviously, as well as, you know, did he play enough? But these guys will all be taken high. I'm almost certain of it at this point, and it really is just a matter of so much depends on where you end up, who your coach is going to be, right? How you develop in the NFL. So it really is about what situations these guys land in and what can make them the most successful, just as much as it's about their individual talent.
All right, Dan. As always, we appreciate it. Great stuff. Thanks for hanging with us for a couple minutes on a Wednesday morning, and we will do it again next week.
You guys know it's my pleasure.
All right. And go Hoyas, Dan. Go Hoyas. There you have it. Was 2020 full of what?
Still creepy.
You want to go to Georgetown. Stop it. I understand that Michael and Don have this antiquated belief, but stop it. There's nothing wrong with me. You don't have a problem with RJ rooting for Syracuse, do you?
No, I have no problems with RJ ever.
Exactly. So why me Georgetown?
I don't know. It's because you're old. I mean, you're an older gentleman.
So you think when RJ's 48, he won't root for Syracuse anymore?
I don't know. I don't know where his heart is at.
Aminu Muhammad, baby.
That's right. We got Aminu coming in next year.
Ryan Mutombo, Dikembe's kid, is coming in next year. I mean, things are changing at Georgetown.
I can't help every time.
Blokovic. No.
Every time I see that Mutombo commercial.
Jan Blachowicz. The one where he's like, no.
That's my favorite. That guy commercial.
How good is that commercial? It is the best of the best. All right. Was 2020 full of dings, dents, and scratches? Using your tax refund at Mako can help. Refresh your ride with your refund at Mako to undo a little bit of last year. Head to Mako.com to get free online estimate today. Uh-oh, better get Mako. 800-919-3776. We get to your calls on the NFL. Yes, Rick, do you have something you'd like to say?
No, so just to clarify, so Josh Rosen did sign a one-year deal with the Niners. Do you have any idea, you learn something new every day, what Josh Rosen's real full name is?
It's going to have to be something like bougie. It's probably like
Edson Arantes de Nascimento.
Is that it?
No, that's close.
Okay, I'm going to say Philip Joshua Rosen III.
Joshua Ballinger Lippincott Rosen.
Ballinger?
Ballinger, yeah, I think it's a Ballinger, Ballinger, Ballinger.
I guess
Joshua
Lippincott. These have to be maiden names, right? Involved.
Must be, yeah. It's a mouthful.
Joshua,
but he signed the 1 year deal.
Ballinger, Lippincott, Rosen. He's not the third or the fourth.
No, it's just the first. I'm not seeing any seconds or thirds. It was just I think it's just the one of one.
That's quite the name he's got going there.
I was going to ask you this question for Stump Rothenberg. Do you know what Allen Iverson's brother's name is? Speaking of the Hoyas.
That'd be a terrible question.
That's why I didn't ask it. I think my question was terrific. This was my backup question.
I have no idea.
Mr. Allen Iverson.
What?
Mr. M-I-S-T-E-R. Mr.
Wait, like his first name is Mr.?
Yes. I'm not joking.
Okay. Well, thank God you didn't ask that one. From the weird and obscure to the great, and that is Jacob DeGrom. Did you see what he threw yesterday? He comes out of the gate throwing well over 100 miles an hour.
It's filthy. It's nasty. I mean, the fact that the older he gets, the better his velocity is insane. I mean, he's consistently over 100 miles an hour. What did he top out at 102 yesterday?
Yeah, he's awesome. I expect him to have, I mean, listen, the guy's gave you back-to-back Cy Youngs and then a third year where he was terrific as well. I just think this is what he is. Like, he's going to be a guy who's going to have an ERA 2 or less and and strike out, you know, 175 to 200 batters. Like, he is just, he is a phenomenal. He, in my mind, clearly the best pitcher in baseball right now.
I don't even think it's a question at this point. The consistency, too. I mean, he was what, one bad start last year away from one, maybe winning his third straight Cy Young?
Yeah, that's it. One start.
He's on my list. Like, there's very few people, like, with everything we have going on in our lives, like, that I make sure, like, his appointment television, like, if this person is doing something, I have to watch it.
You have to watch him.
Like, even yesterday, I was dialed in. Like, the second, I couldn't wait for it to be 1 o'clock to watch him pitch. It's must-watch TV.
He's amazing. I mean, I don't even know what there is to say about it at this point. You know, every fifth day when he gets the ball, Chris, it is going to be must-watch and a wonderful start from DeGrom.
Dave, excellence is routine for Jacob DeGrom. That's the best way to describe it. It's like LeBron James going for a triple-double. I mean, it doesn't raise an eyebrow anymore just because you've come to expect it. Same with Jacob DeGrom. I mean, getting a scoreless start and, you know, seven innings pitched is what Jacob DeGrom does. Like, that's what we've come to expect from him. So, I mean, the guy is the best pitcher in baseball. Like, he's the guy that I feel like you can trust the most. And this is coming from a Yankees fan who has Gerrit Cole as our ace. Like, I just feel like I trust Jacob DeGrom every time he takes the mound, more so than any other pitcher around the sport.
I want to certainly get to the calls here, and we will do that in just a moment. But I have a couple things to do. DCR presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. And DCR also brought to you by Goodyear. Goodyear knows from here on out, every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. It takes momentum to get through the playoffs, and it takes everything to capture a title. Goodyear, more driven. Can he get to the point, guys, where we look at Jacob DeGrom as the greatest pitcher in the history of the Mets? Or is that Tom Seaver and Tom Seaver alone?
I think it's going to be Seaver.
Now, you say
I mean, it's, he'll be, I mean, for us, I mean, for, you know, maybe, I mean, for your kids, and maybe, I mean, I didn't get to see much of Tom Seaver, but I mean, for this, I mean,
I don't have any recollection of Seaver with the Mets, though. None.
For this generation of Mets fan, it's going to be, I mean, it'll be DeGrom, but I think Tom Seaver was the franchise.
He was. But look at what, I mean, DeGrom has won two Cy Youngs. He could win a third. He could, I mean,
you got to win some championships before you put him in that conversation with Seaver, Dave. He has to.
I think Seaver's going to be the guy, though, Dave. I
mean, probably
you're the franchise.
Listen, Don said it yesterday. He said, you know, is he going to wind up as the greatest pitcher in franchise history? And my first thought was like, how could you say that? And I still think it's a little bit crazy, but I don't think it's as crazy. Like, when you look at the number, like, DeGrom is a phenomenal pitcher, and he's starting to have some longevity here now.
And he's getting better. I mean, that's what's scary, is he's actually getting, I mean, he's not a, I mean, he got at it late, right, with the Tommy John. I mean, he started a little bit late, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, to watch him and how much, like, he's the definition of what you would want your pitcher to be. Right, like, he's not just the guy who throws hard, and he can throw hard, but he's knows how to pitch.
He's a great, great pitcher. It's a treat to get to watch him every fifth day. And the Yankees have Cole, and maybe they'll match up one day this year, which would be
I would love to see that.
Well.
That'd be great. That'd
right?
be awesome.
How much fun would that be? All
and
right,
your boy Pete Alonso too is having a good spring too.
Yeah,
Dave.
It feels like it's starting to turn the corner with him. Maybe last year was just the outlier, and he's going to be back to what he was 2 years ago. Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Get back to the NFL. Good morning, Ira. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good morning, boys. And, you know, happy anniversary, Dave. 3 years ago today, I was leaving work. I got in. You were on your Saturday show, and you made the announcement about the Jets trading from 6 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have known that 3 years later I'd be calling you about that his trade value might be up in question right now because it didn't work out. It's just it's mind-boggling. And, Chris, you did bring up some good points. I guess somebody could bring him in as a backup. Probably it would have to be after they draft a quarterback. I just think the market is dried up. I guess his best case scenario is to go somewhere where there's a veteran that's aging. Like, you know, I know Atlanta's a draft quarterback, but a scenario like that where you got a late 30-year-old quarterback and they want to play around with Donald as a backup. But the thing, I tell you, the one thing that concerns me after yesterday, I gave it a lot of thought. Graziano mentioned it. And Rick, you know, I don't want you to get upset, but I think the Pats are really in play for Watson because you look at what everything they've done, they haven't built this team with 9 free agents and counting, have about 7 or 8 players coming off the COVID list, all right? They can well afford to give up some top round draft picks for these next 2 years, like a 1, 2, and 3 this year and a 1 and 2 next year, and go make a trade with his ex-worker, Nick Caserio. It would not shock me at all. And if Watson ever landed on the Patriots, it would be insane, just absolutely insane. But I'm not going to rule it out because I think it's realistic.
Well, firstly, thanks for the call, Ira. We appreciate it. I just don't think that they have the ammunition to get Deshaun Watson would be my issue.
Yeah, don't even say that, please. Don't even put that out. That's a possibility. I could, I mean, that would be...
You would just go away. Yeah, you probably would retire from sports talk radio.
No, I mean, it was already... It would be a nightmare if Deshaun Watson ended up on the Dolphins. Like, in your division, period, would have been a nightmare.
Where would you prefer? Dolphins or Patriots?
That's a terrible question. Neither.
Door number three.
Yeah, say it. Let them sit out in Houston is what I would prefer.
Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
You would. I'm sure you would. All right, Santi, I want to give you enough time, so let's go the three stars of the day.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
Star number three is going to go to Mike Greenberg for his shout out there to Rick DiPietro. Rick, I told you this already, and I really do believe this. You love Michael Kay. He loves you. It's a great relationship for the both of you. But I really think if you want to get yourself to take advantage of this NHL TV deal, Greeny's the guy you need to have in your corner. I think if you got to hitch yourself to a wagon, it's got to be Greeny. Greeny can get you on network television, and you'll be the guy. Not Stephen A. Smith talking about the puck being black and
you
all.
You can even overtake
that
Stephen A. with the hockey conversation.
Number two,
Dave Rothenberg, take a bow. Nice performance on Stump Rothenberg today.
Thank you very much.
Not really much to add to that one.
3-0.
Number one, there was never going to be any debate about this.
Number one.
Mike Tannenbaum wanting all the smoke with everybody. Hot takes galore. Calling out us for his negligence with the timing yesterday, and we'll see how he does next week. We'll have to hold him to that, but I mean, he wasn't backing down from anybody today. Very much like a seasoned GM. Good for him.
Just make sure that you take notice. His negligence, not ours. It's rule 76.
No excuses, Blake and Champ. It is DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg, and
everybody
on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.